Welcome, 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 welcome. How's everybody doing? Good? All three of you. I had to, Bjorn does it all the time, so I had to see how that one worked. they're in there, they're getting coffee. They're making their way in. They'll get in here in a minute. They're going to miss the good stuff, though. Jimmy, let them know they're missing the good stuff. There you go. Well, it's the end of January. How many have stuck to their New Year's resolutions? That's probably good. That way it can't be broken. You just get it done when you get it done. Right, Mike? Just keep plugging. There you go. So, you guys can start playing. Do it. Go ahead. Ready, go. So last Sunday, I'm going to welcome you guys. I sat down yesterday and just kind of went back over what I've been thinking about as far as this whole thing goes. And I know this is just the first month in this whole being thing. And I think it's like with anything else, you just keep going over it, keep going over it, keep going after it. And then it becomes, you know, kind of part of who you are. Amen. Amen. Speak it, sister. But as we get into worship and we get into a mindset of worship coming into his presence, I told him to go ahead and play. I just wrote a little something yesterday, a little change it up from kind of how I've been welcoming you guys. If something you hear resonates within you as we get into worship here, just go ahead and stand where you are. You know, if you start feeling, you know, something that I'm saying is where you're at or how you've been feeling or a word, you know, just go ahead and stand as we get into worship here, all right? Be free. Free from worry or doubt or fear. Free to be all that you were called to be, all that you have dreams to be. Free from the reservations of chasing after all the good things you have ever wanted in your life. Free of your past. Free of your worrying what the future may hold. Be love in the face of hate, rejection, criticism, or judgment. Be love to the unloved, the discarded. Be loved and be loved. Be the love that although he did not want, he still went to the cross for a dying world. So be love. Be light. Light in the midst of darkness. Be light that helps those around you see more clearly that they may sidestep the stumbling blocks that they cannot yet see. Be light that is welcomed with open arms by even the strangers you encounter throughout your day. Be slow. Be slow to speak, slow to anger, and slow to judge what you yet not know of. Be grace. Grace to the undeserving. For we were once undeserving of grace, and yet we have received. So be grace. Grace in spite of every fiber's desire to be otherwise. For there is freedom in grace. Be strong. Strong in the face of adversity. Strong in the face of what may seem like unsurmountable goals or odds. Stand as David did and believe that all of his promises are yes and amen. And that he would do everything he said he would do for you from the beginning of time. Be strong when everything says you are weak. Be strong when the weight of the world and the pressures of your own thoughts become almost unbearable. Be strong. Be peace. Peace in the midst of chaos, confusion, worry, doubt, and pain. Be the peace that others run to in their time of need. Be the peace that says, although it may not be all right, it soon will be. Be the peace that others wish to bask in, like that of the warm rays of sun in the spring. Be mercy. Mercy that says, although I may be hurt or wounded, I extend mercy to those that may have hurt me. Be mercy so that others may know the love of a Father in which they have never known before. Be joy. Joy to the heavy of heart, the downtrodden, and those that feel joy may have left them for good. Be the joy that breaks chains, that lifts spirits to new heights, that causes the storms to break and the sun to shine. Be joy. Be a giver. In a world that is conditioning you to receive, 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 and to take, and to look out for yourself, be a giver. A giver with no thought of return. Give as if you already have more than you could ever want or hope for. Give like the woman who poured out all that she had in the perfume jar and washed the feet of Christ, because she was so compelled by love that giving was all that mattered to her. Be seen. Be seen exemplifying the teachings of Christ, his heart for the lost, the lonely, the broken in this world. Be his hands today, his feet, his eyes, his grace, his mercy, his love, his peace, his strength, and his freedom. Be confident. Confident that his grace is enough. His mercy endures to all generations. His love can reach you no matter where you are today. And no matter what anything is saying or speaking to you, that he will carry you to completion just like he promised. So let us enter into his presence and receive all that is yours by birthright. All that he has for you today is yours by birthright. Leave here all that weighs you down from being and become. Become the goodness the world seeks and longs after day, not because of your perfection, but because of the perfection of Christ in you. Today, let us not strive for the unattainable, but rather let go and simply be.
Stand with us.
If faith can move the mountains, let the mountains move. We come with expectation, waiting here for you. The Lord.
Sing this next song, and in a book I'm reading, the author talks about her visit to Italy, and she's read a lot about the famous David sculpture, and she wants to go to this particular museum and to see it. There's a very long line, and she reads a lot about these sculptures as she's waiting. And she's anticipating seeing this beautiful, beautiful, the David. And so anyway, when she goes in, well, first of all, as she's reading, surprisingly, Michelangelo was not the one to begin this. He completed it, but he didn't start it. As a matter of fact, he wasn't even born when this was commissioned, which was so interesting to me, but that's beside the point. But there's this 19-foot, they say, block. And what had been done before Michelangelo was the feet and the part of the bodice. And so when Michelangelo completed it, it was said that he was asked, "How did you do that?" And he said, he replied simply, it was so easy. You just simply chip away everything that doesn't look like David. And I just thought, whoa. I mean, her account in the book is the same response that I had. It was like, wow, Lord, chip away everything in me that doesn't look like you. And then this another part that was so cool to me is before she actually sees this beautiful masterpiece, there's this long corridor of other unfinished statues that are partly done here and there, and she stops and she's just in awe, and the friends with her are saying, we're going to see this beautiful masterpiece, why are you stopping here in this hallway? And she said she just couldn't believe what these were titled, all these unfinished sculptures, and they were the label was prisoners. And she saw herself, and she saw herself locked in those hard places, unfinished and stuck. And in that moment, she turns and she sees the beautiful David sculpture that was completed by the master artist. And her prayer was, God, chisel me out of my hard places so I can be free and I can be all you've called me to be. I don't want to be stuck. I don't want to look like me. I want to look like you. And this morning, and great are you, Lord, that line that says, he calls us out of darkness into his light. And that tells me he doesn't want us to stay stuck. He doesn't want us to stay in our hard places, in our darkness. He doesn't want us to remain there, because we are his workmanship. He is the master chiseling away at those hard places in my life. And when I allow him to chisel, and he's so graceful and he's so purposeful in those places in our lives. And I know he is calling all of us out of darkness into his light, out of our places, those stuck places and those hard places that you're in. He doesn't want you to stay in them. It is the coolest, sweetest, most wonderful thing. He doesn't want you to stay there. And so it's a matter of trust to say, Lord, chisel in my life, in my heart, those hard places, Lord, that aren't you. Lord, allow me to trust you, because you make all things beautiful. You don't do it to cause us pain or to be uncomfortable. You want to chisel to free us, to call us out of darkness into your light. And we thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that today our prayer can be, Lord, allow those things in my life that are not you to be chiseled away and to set us free. Amen.
Amen. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our love. Yeah. light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore, every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath.
Past couple weeks, and I just want to share from my heart this morning that I as I was thinking about the song and what I surrender means to me and how I could share it with you guys, and the thing that kept coming over in my head this morning was, we used to sing a song when I was young 30 years ago, and it was I Surrender All. 30 years ago at Crestview Baptist Church is where I was at. The same God that was there 30 years ago is here today, and people are still surrendering their life to Him. And like she said, you chisel it away. You can continue to surrender to God and find what you can surrender to God, and you just seek Him and let Him show you more. Now, I feel as though I'm what I thought 30 years ago I surrendering is a little different than it is now, and that's cool. That's life. I see it in different lights. But whatever it is this morning, that you need to surrender to God. There's no better time than right now. 30 years ago, it was good. Right now, in 2016, surrender to God. Tell him that you just want to know him more. God, just show me more of you to be more like you. So this is a new little take on the I surrender, but I pray that right now you just feel that Spirit of God in you as you surrender, whatever that may be, just to know him more. Amen.
Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all, surrendering all. Find me here, Lord, as you draw me near, desperate for you. Desperate for you, I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more.
I come this morning with gratefulness and thanksgiving. I'm trying to do this so it makes sense, but yesterday I was reading in Daniel, and I know it's something you read in Bible school when you're a kid, but the part of when Nebuchadnezzar is seeing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire, and he goes, look, there's another person in there. There are four people, and not just the three we put in. So he gets them out, and they are unbound. They don't have a single hair on their head that has been burnt or singed. They don't even smell of smoke. That is God. That is seeing them through the fire. So take it to today. And yesterday, Michael and I were talking about the most amazing year of our life, and our marriage was in the hardest year of our life and our marriage. We were completely done. We had wrote it off. And yet we came to the throne and said, I surrender. What do we need to do? And through that fire, those raging fires that we went through, and not just us, our children and our families that we went through, he was there in that fire with us. And we were not bound, and we were not singed. And we can speak today of how glorious and wonderful that time was in our lives. It may have looked scary, but yet he was there. And now we can say that we have been changed, and we are changing still. And glory be to God for that fire and that time that he molded us, and our marriage is stronger than it has ever been, because God is good. He is so good. And we just had nothing but thanksgiving to share with each other yesterday, and thankfulness for each other surrendering and giving in and saying, I'm all in. I am all in. Let's do this. Amen. So I'm here with thanksgiving and gratefulness this morning. He is good.
From the cloud you speak, what was veiled now is seen. Jesus, the image of the
But as for me, I will sing about your power each morning. I will sing with joy about your unfailing love. For you have been my refuge, a place of safety. He's a place of safety when I am in distress. And oh, my strength, to you I sing praises. For you, oh God, are my refuge, the God who shows me unfailing love. Amen.
Say. They pretty well said about everything needs to be said this morning, so I'm just going to share a little bit with you, and then we're going to reflect a little bit more and just let God do what God does, all right? I'll do that. I love the stories that I'm hearing. But first of all, don't forget to fill out your connection card. Thank you for doing that every week. If you're a visitor, a guest this morning, there's a gift for you at the information booth. Please pick you one up when you go out. I love the stories I'm hearing about the being shirts. I love the stories of how people are in certain places and they're asked about it. I like the fact that how many are stumbling over trying to explain what being means. And I love it when they just say, "I don't know. They gave me this shirt and I just wear it." That was we was eating yesterday, and Anna had on her being shirt, and she was asked, "Have you worn it to school?" And she said, "Yes, I've worn it." And did anybody ask you about it? Said, "They asked me about it." And she said, "They said, what did you say?" Said, "Well, I said, it's being. It's being. I don't know. They gave me this shirt, and I just wore it." It's being. The ing part is because there's a lot of ings to be. Right? There's a lot of ings to be. Giving was our first one. Attending. Renewing, attending, serving. Today we're going to talk about praying. And if we can grasp giving, we can grasp renewing, we can grasp attending, and serving and praying, our being will truly be moved, and we'll live in it and move in it as God would move and live in us. Now, I want you to listen real closely, because I want to talk about praying today in a light that I've never talked about it before. It's going to be an understanding about praying that maybe none of us have seen before, but what I want you to see today is how much you do pray. You pray always, a lot more than you think. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15 through 22, he says, "See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is good. Hold on to what is good, and stay away from every kind of evil." The little Greek translation of praying always is engage your thoughts in worshipful prayer. Engage your thoughts in worshipful prayer. See, worship simply is ascribing worth-ship to God. It's saying, "God, you are worth my attention. You are worth my prayer. You're worth me talking about, thinking about." It's just ascribing worship to it. When he says test everything, it's test everything like one would test gold to determine its true value. Then treasure that which is precious with great care. The word evil, it's a Greek word, poneros. And this is what it means. And he says at the end of that, don't let evil be in your life. Don't lose your true sense of identity of who you are. That's what evil is. Evil is not some act out here that we think we're doing, and that's so evil. Evil is a losing my identity of who I am. It's being full of hardships, labors, and annoyances. You can see that. And what God is trying to do is remove evil from our thought life, and see, in prayer, we begin to meditate upon the Lord, and we begin to distinguish what is good, test what is good, and when we see what is good, like gold, we treasure it, and that's what we want to hold on to, and that's what we want to keep, and we want to chisel the rest away. Prayer is about listening to His voice in the depths of your heart. In Job 33, 14 through 18, he says this, "For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams and visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds. He whispers in their ears and terrifies them with warnings. He makes them turn from doing wrong. He keeps them from pride. He protects them from the grave, from crossing over the river of death." Wow. I wasn't going to share this dream because I didn't want to share it until I really understood it, and I finally understood it this week. 2 weeks ago, I was awakened with a most horrific dream I've ever had in my life, and it was very troubling. And in this dream, it was as vivid as I'm standing here before you right now. I went down the street, walked down the street to a neighbor's house that I'd never been to before. And when I started to go home, I got lost, and I could not find my way back home. I found myself uptown on streets of familiarity. I was familiar with these streets, these landmarks, but I was lost, and I could not find my way home. And I thought, when I woke, that God must be speaking to me about some situations in people's lives. But God, over the next 2 weeks, I had the dream again. And I was in a place again, lost in the streets of familiarity, and I couldn't find my way home, and I was crying my eyes out, holding to someone, saying, "Please help me find my way home." Up until 3 years ago, I sneered at people who said, "I've lost my identity. I've lost who I am. I've got to find myself." I would laugh at, I would look at somebody and say, "You got to be kidding. You got to find yourself." And the reality of it is, and God spoke so vividly to me, there are many people in this world who are walking in places of familiarity, but they're so lost. They have lost their identity. They have lost who they are. They've lost who God says they are. They've lost their being. They've lost their being. They're still human, but they've lost the being part of it. They still have hands and fingers and feet. They still have a mind, they still have a heart, they still have blood pumping through this body, but they've lost their being. They no longer live a life of existence in God, an existence of hope, an existence of faith, an existence of good, an existence of joy, an existence of being whom God created us to be. I'm reading a book by Mark Rutland, and Mark Rutland wrote this book, and it's on the Lord's Prayer in the 23rd Psalm. He wrote this book out of desperation of what he went through. He went through the greatest depression in his life, and he's a minister, he's a pastor, sought-after speaker, great preacher, great writer. But he lost himself. He was under such depression, he couldn't get out of it. And so he comes across the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. And for weeks and months, and I think years, he prayed the Lord's Prayer every day, over and over and over again, and not another prayer did he pray for two or three years. And he came out of the depression. Because, see, when you look at the Lord's Prayer, it's not about, prayer is not about length of time. The name of his book is 21 Seconds to Change Our World. 21 seconds, about 21 seconds it takes to read the Lord's Prayer. Oh, my generation, we knew the Lord's Prayer. We said it at school in the mornings before school started. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Oh, we could quote it, but we didn't know what it meant. Our Father who art. You see, he wasn't asking for nothing but forgiveness. Why don't we pray what Jesus told his disciples to pray? Lord, teach us to pray. When you pray, pray this. And you're not asking God for anything but forgiveness. And an attitude of being aware of my surroundings, and I'm not led into temptation, but I'm delivered from evil because I'm keeping my mind fixed upon you and my thoughts on you. And then there's the 23rd Psalm. And 23rd Psalm, we get that at funerals. And on the bulletin that's handed out, there's the 23rd Psalm printed so many times, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." Da, da, da. And not even seeing what it's saying. It's a prayer. It's David saying who God is in his life. And I read that this week, and I had something just leap off the page to me. Because I used to segment the 23rd Psalm so much. And I read, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not have need. He leads me beside still waters." And then I would go to the next one, "He restores my soul." And God said, "No, Buren, don't do that. Because you're by still waters, your soul is restored. You can't have a restored soul in troubled waters. You can't be troubled and be restored. You have to be still and know that I am God. And if you will quiet yourself, if you'll come to a place of understanding, of quietness before God, if you'll let him steal your life, guess what? Your soul will be restored. And when your soul is restored, he'll lead you in the paths of righteousness. His rod and his staff will comfort you. Even in the presence of your enemies, you won't know it. For he'll make a table even there in the presence of your enemies, and you will banquet at the table of the Lord and not even know you're surrounded by your enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. What a prayer. It's not about how long you pray. Prayer is not about nothing but changing our thoughts to be like his thoughts. Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 11 says that his thoughts are not our thoughts. Matter of fact, he says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." But it doesn't stop there. He goes on and says, "Just as the rain and the snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth, they cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It's the same with my words. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Just as the rain and the snow come to the earth and it saturates the earth and it waters the earth and the earth brings forth fruit, so it is in your life. When my word comes to you, when my thoughts come to you, when you listen to what I'm saying and it changes your thoughts, then my word will not return void, but it will produce exactly what it's supposed to produce in your life. It'll change your thoughts. Progress, George Bernard Shaw said this, progress is impossible without change. And those who cannot change their minds cannot change anything. Those, you know, my wife's not this way, but like people have said about a lot of women, then they change your mind. It's kind of flipped with Barbara and I. She's not the woman who changes her mind all the ways. I'm the woman who changes his mind all the time. All the time I'm changing my mind. I'm just do that. My staff wishes I wouldn't do that. I'm terrible about it. Yeah, I used to be worse than I am now, right? Well, I used to be horrible. I change my mind every morning. And that's not a good changing of the mind. But let me tell you what a good changing of the mind is. When you're changing your thoughts every single day. When you're changing your thoughts from what you shouldn't be thinking to what I should be thinking. When I change it that way, that's a good changing that should happen. Last but not least, prayer is about discovering, or if you will, rediscovering our true being. Jeremiah 1:5, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Wow. E.D. and Callie was just blessed to have me. That's not where I came from. That was not where I originated. They were just blessed that God chose them to raise me. They were just blessed for that. Your parents was not where you originated. They were just blessed to have you. They were just blessed to have you. But that's not where you came from. In 2 Corinthians 3:16 through 18, and we're going to probably do this scripture over the next year over and over and over again. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So all of us who have that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like Him as we're changed into His glorious image. The little Greek is this. Now we all, with new understanding, see ourselves in Him as in a mirror. Then we are changed from an inferior mindset to the revealed mindset. Not from an inferior mindset to a superior mindset, but from an inferior mindset to a true mindset of who you are. And when he says turns, anyone who turns, the Greek is esprechefo, returning to where we wandered from. I'm not turning, I'm returning to where we've wandered from. I'm just getting back to me. I'm just introducing me back to me. Freedom, and he says we become free, it means we're free to live the life of their original design, a new spontaneous lifestyle. That's me. I finally realized I am exactly who God called me to be. My being in Him. Wow. There was a movement of the Holy Spirit back in the mid-70s and up into the mid-80s called the Charismatic Movement. How many remembers that? Four of you do, okay. Well, let me tell you a little bit about it. If it hadn't been for the charismatic movement, I wouldn't know this man. We probably never met. I might not have met Ken. I might not have met several of you. I wouldn't have met you, Joe. You'd still been Presbyterian. You know you wouldn't be. But something happened. There was this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And remember, Spence, how it crossed all denominational lines. Catholics, Methodists, Episcopalians, Presbyterians even, were being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And it just, you know, it brought such a unity to the church. Remember how unified all of a sudden walls began to fall between denominational lines and everybody was seeing things differently. And we got way off track with it. And the fact of the matter is all that was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit so that people would see how big God really is in their life and they would be more aware of who God is. Oh, but we wanted it for something else. We wanted it for something else. And there was a scripture, Billy, that was so prominent in that movement. And it revolutionized some people's thinking about warfare. It was a scripture, and it quotes like this. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him. And so a revelation came about that the Word of God's inspired, but punctuations often aren't. And the literal rendering of that scripture is, when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And so, when you read Isaiah 59:19, it says like this, in the west, people will respect the name of the Lord. In the east, they will glorify him, for he will come like a raging flood tide driven by the breath of the Lord. He would be the one who would come and do that. And I read a scripture a couple of weeks ago. And I've read this scripture and quoted this scripture. Oh, I can't tell you how many times. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And then I read it this way. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's the same thing. Oh, no, it's not. No, it's not. If I just say the fool has said in his heart there is no God, it sounds like he's just an atheist and he's a fool. No, the fool has said in my heart there is no God. You're a fool because he is. In every heart. They just have to be awakened to the fact of who he is. And so I got the revelation of the ugly duckling. And I remembered the story vaguely, so I ordered the book. I Googled it first to find out a little bit about it, written by a man named Hans Christian Andersen. And let me just read a little bit about the book. The mother said about this egg that got mixed up with her eggs. That is a monstrous big duckling, a puzzled mother duck says, when the last of her chicks hatches out of his odd-shaped egg. Can he be a turkey chick? Well, we shall soon find out. From that day on, everyone knows that this duckling is different. Teased for his awkward appearances by even his own brothers and sisters, he steals away, friendless, marching on bravely through obstacles at every turn. The seasons change, and so does a duckling. But not until an exhilarating moment one spring does he realize the glorious truth about himself. The rest of the winter was miserable, and the duckling never had enough to eat. Finally, the earth became softer, and tender young plants poked through. When the duckling stood up one day, he raised his wings and stretched them in the warmth of the sun. He flapped them once and then again, and with a strength he never felt before. Let me see. Before that, he comes to a place in the autumn. He says, the leaves in the autumns turned yellow and brown, and the wind took hold of them, and they danced about. Then the snow began to fall, and the ducklings' bewilderment, the river started to turn hard and slippery. One day he heard a sound of wings, and up in the air he saw a flock of birds flying high. They were as bright as the snow that had fallen during the night, and their long necks were stretched southward. Oh, if only he could go with them, but what sort of companion would he be with those beautiful beings? And just in front of him, he saw a flock of the same beautiful birds he had seen in the sky so many months ago. One by one, he watched them step into the stream with feathers rustling and then float quietly upon the waters as if they were part of it. I will follow them, thought the duckling. I'd rather be killed by them than suffer any more cold and hunger and cruelty. Stretching out his wings, he lifted himself into the air to fly down to the water. Oh, how glorious it felt to be rushing through the air, wheeling first one way and then another. He had never thought flying could be like this. When he reached the water, some of the younger birds swarmed out to meet him with cries of welcome, which the duckling hardly understood. I don't know why I was hatched. I'm the ugliest duckling ever to live, he said to them. He bowed his head and looked down in the water. Reflected in the still pool, he saw many graceful shapes with long necks and golden bills. Without thinking, he looked for his dull feathers and awkward skinny neck, but no such thing was there. Instead, he beheld beneath him a beautiful swan. Wow. You ever seen a swan? I don't know if I ever saw one until Ireland. And I went to a park, very popular park in Ireland. And it's got lots of little ponds full of swans. And they're just gorgeous. Gorgeous. You can have it now. And gorgeous beings. I thought it was ironic that Hans' middle name was Christian. I thought that was ironic, his middle name is Christian. Hans was a tall, lanky, really ugly human being. And it bothered him all of his life. He became an awesome, awesome singer. He realized one day, and this is a little legend and a little mixed, so we don't know for sure if it's all true, but that he found out he was the illegitimate child of a prince who became a king. I mean, you know that sometimes we just have to rediscover who we are, who our true being really is. You're not an ugly duckling. You're just with the wrong people. You're just with the wrong mindset. He was asked after writing so many books, why don't you write your autobiography? He said, I did. It's called The Ugly Duckling.
Preaching so good. We did it in India. I'm going to come here and do a little bit
more. All right.
So there's a little bit more to the story about the David, and some of you may know it, some of you may not. There's a reason why it sat for so long. The first artist thought he ruined it. It sat there as a ruined piece of marble all those years because everybody else accepted what the first artist said. The piece of marble was ruined until Michelangelo came along, and then they recommissioned him to do it. Has anybody seen the David in person? Man, I'll tell you, the pupils are hearts, and they just stare at you, and you see this loving. I mean, the rumor is, or the story goes, that when it was all done, everybody's gathering around, the critics came. There's always critics. Thought the nose was a little too big. So Michelangelo grabs a little bit of dust without anybody noticing from where he had been chiseling on that. And he gets a ladder and he goes up and he takes a chisel and he starts hitting on the chisel and dropping dust. gets back down and he says, how is it now? And they said, oh, that's perfect. That's perfect. So the thing about that is, there's people sitting here right now who somebody has told you, already told you, that you're imperfect, that you're ruined, that you can't, nothing can be made of it anymore. Some of you decided that on your own. I've made mistakes. I'm ruined. I can't do it anymore.
Right.
Every one of us has a choice. And we can start right now with a different choice. And we can be something different than we have either accepted that we were being or we've decided that we were being. And you can recreate a whole new world and you can be something special, just like the David is something special.
Amen.
You know, one thing that Margaret and I have noticed when we go to the High Museum of Art and see these art exhibits that come through, and then we go to the gift shop and we buy a book that's got the pictures of it in it, it's not the same. You know, once you've seen it in person, it's not the same. That David statue is magnificent, and it was made out of a ruined piece of marble.
Awesome. Amen. My word for this year is the word more. And I thought, when I thought of the word, I want more God in me. I want God to be more in me. I want more wisdom. I want more of this. I want more of this, or that, or this. And the whole word's been totally different. It's been more giving, more studying. I was at the track walking a few weeks ago, and just the same God that spoke to me in the dream spoke to me on the track. And I like how God speaks so differently sometimes, and this is how he said it this time. I was wanting more results. You know, I've maintained myself for the last 10 years. I've maintained it well, but I've been wanting more results. And so I'm talking to myself. And then God then speaks inside of me, and he says, evidently, you're not going to change your lifestyle. I just was kind of, I knew I wouldn't talk to myself that way. So I knew it had to be God. He said, evidently, you're not going to change your lifestyle, so you better go another lap. You better do more. And so, Joy, when I got working back out at home and doing my same routine that I've done for 10 years, same length, God said, you want results? You really want? Evidently, you're not going to change your lifestyle. Do more. And so for the last few weeks, I've been doing more and more. And guess what? You get more results. This thing will work if you'll think more of who God says you are. If you'll think more of who God says you are, if you'll think more of the positive thoughts that God has in you, if you will chisel away that's not really not you, because that's not who you are, because who you were in the beginning, created in him without fault, without blemish. In him you have always been a beautiful swan. In him you always have been and always will be who he created you to be, because before you were conceived in your mother's womb, he knew you, he ordained you to be who you are. And you are beautiful, beautiful being of his in this planet, who represents this awesome, unbelievable, indescribable God that can't be put in a box and he can't be put in a body and say that's who he is, because he's bigger than this. He's bigger than this. He's this and 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 he's this. He's so multifaceted. He's so awesome. He's so awesome. And see, my biggest thing, I've had to come to the realization when I taught the I Am series, you know you've arrived, at least almost, when you're able not only to say, I am who God says I am, but when I can say, you are who God says you are. And now when I see weird people that I used to think were weird, awkward people, I see swans. I see God in the flesh. Let me reintroduce you to you. Let me reintroduce you today to your true being. It's Him in you, the hope of glory. Wow. You're here this morning, and you can honestly say, I want to be introduced, reintroduced to the real me. And this, everybody didn't have to stand. It's not for everybody, but for some people, there it is. You want to be reintroduced to your real being, and you've lost yourself. Would you just stand where you are? Just stand where you are. I want to be reintroduced to my true being. Who am I? It's your mother. She's a wonderful mother. But she was just blessed to have you, to raise you. God just let her have you. But that's not where you came from. You came from heaven. You came from God. God knew you before you was ever conceived in your mother's womb. And that's the being that you are. And when any other thoughts of any other thing comes your way to tell you that you're this or that or another, know that that's an illusion. You know what an illusion is? Anything outside of your true being in God is an illusion. That's illusional. The ugly duckling was an illusion because he never saw himself the way that God saw him. Okay? You see yourself the way God sees you. Okay? And chisel away those other thoughts and know that you're a beautiful swan being created by God to represent Him in this earth. And you're going to touch the lives of a lot of people. And out of your depths of despair will come great hope. And out of the depths of where you've been through, you'll be able to reach over here and take somebody by the hand and give them an encouraging word and lift them up. Lift them up. Because it happens so often. You already know who you are. God has been, will continue to work a mighty work in your life. Sometimes we're in a well and we feel like I can't get out. You know what? If you look up, you'll see the light. Now, the walls are slippery and it's going to take some effort, but all you've got to see is the light. You don't have to get out, you just got to see the light. Because if you can see the light, you know there's a better day. And the Bible says in 2 Peter, and I close with this with you. This spirit, this light is like a lamp. And that may be all you have right now is a lamp. How many know, though, a lamp is better than nothing? You ever been in a pitch dark house and the lights go out, you know, and your electricity's gone, and we don't have the big light. You find a candle, you find a flashlight or a little lamp, and that's all you got is a lamp. But it's sufficient, isn't it? And it's going to get you through it. He says, we've been given this spirit, this light, it's like a lamp, but it dawns to a bright new day. And that's what we have, like a light shining in us that's shining more and more until the dawning of another day, a brighter day, a more blessed day. And that's what's happening in all of your lives, even if it's just a light, even if it's just a lamp right now, it's going to come forth to a bright and glorious dawning of a new day, of a new life, of a new way, of a new, if you will, being. God, love you. Hold to that. Don't think lightly of little, small things. Don't do it.
Wow. God's a good God. If you have your connection cards, and hopefully you filled those out. Hopefully at least about 15 of you signed up for the chili cook-off to do a pot of chili, because I need 15 more. Our ushers are preparing now to receive our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. Lots of opportunities on that connection card, so make sure that you read those and fill those out. In your bulletin was a flyer this morning about our Youth Disciple Now weekend. Want to make sure parents have all of the details on that. If you have a teenager, make sure that they get involved in this. If you don't have a teenager and you financially would like to help with that, because there are some teens that may not be able to afford that, the real cost to it is they're going to Snow Mountain, which is actually Stone Mountain, but they turn it into Snow Mountain on Saturday for their event and their meal that is out that day. So, you can help with that if you would like to do that. We're excited that Brittany and Andy Toms, or Brittany Shaw, for those of you that may remember, will be here to minister to them that weekend. And then this Saturday night is the Black Heritage Festival. You know, I had Maddie come down, and she's part of the Griffin High Choral Group. The proceeds from the Black Heritage Festival go to help Spalding High's chorus and Griffin High's chorus. And so there are $10 tickets. Our praise team is actually going to be there doing a session. It's about a two-hour night that evening, so starts at 7 o'clock. You'll hear some incredible choir. So if you like choir music, it is awesome. Been for the last couple of years, so I encourage you to be a part of that and come out. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, that we can come to your house, Lord, we can receive from you, that you can impart to us, that you can chisel away, that, Lord, that we can be faithful to what you've called us to do, bring in our first fruits, our time, and our talents. And we present that to you this day. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. If you would stand, and as we worship this last song, if you want to come and to give alms in this box, that goes to help those that are in a time of need, both in this house and in our community. So thank you.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord.
our hearts.